Welcome to the Third Realm Integration Podcast, where our unconscious minds meet and the transformation begins. I am your host, Megan Kenny. Let's get started. Back for another episode. I got my little pop filter on here right now, so the pee sounds that I make don't do this pop sound and blow your eardrums out on the other end. They're called plosives. That's the term. Like P, B, T sounds that create that real pop, which isn't great for sound quality. They're called plosives. I did a little research on this. And I do have a pop filter here. It's just not convenient to use on the mic stand that I have, so I just forget about it. But you can't really edit those pop sounds out or those plosives out. So I'm gonna give this a try. We'll see how it goes. And then I learned another trick, turning the mic down away from the direct line of my mouth. Maybe this will make the sound quality a little bit better. We'll see how this goes. But I wanted to jump on because I wanted to share about an archetype that is not known as a dominant archetype in the trainings that I've had on the various archetypes. And it is the glass child. So here we are, another child archetype. Yay! Gotta love those kids, right? Gotta love those demanding little children that live in us. Or those angry little children. The child that lives in the adult. What an angry force. I know I've said this before. Where I've seen this energy shut an entire room down. But I mean, the anger. I don't know. I really feel like anger and rage. And maybe repressed rage or highly controlled rage. Is such a key feature of most of the children archetypes. Maybe not the magical divine. Or golden. Golden is divine, but maybe not the nature, but the harsher ones, like the wounded, and definitely the glass. So the glass child is the archetype that somebody may hold if they have grown up in a family with a sibling who struggles with a disability or mental illness, or both. Or mental illness can be considered a disability, but meaning a physical disability. So essentially what it is it's somebody that has grown up in a family system where most of the attention, for whatever reason, has been focused on the child who struggles. So if you've grown up in a family where your sibling has been an active addict, lost in the chaos and intensity of active addiction, or a sibling who has, I don't know, Down syndrome or some other genetic disability, physical disability, mental disability, whatever it is. But it's so primary to the family system that it's what the parents need to focus on most. And therefore, it does take up most of the parents' time and attention. And so what does that do to the child who's not struggling or who is not obviously struggling? It makes them feel invisible. Like you're looking through a looking glass. Can't even see them. And what happens is their emotions are therefore not tended to. So the message that is sent is, and reinforced, is that you're not allowed to feel intensely like your sibling. Like we have our hands full with this one. You got to keep it under control. So the message is really you're not allowed to feel. And that's also communicated through the praise that the more stable child will get. Like, oh, you're my easy one. You're my perfect one. You're my stable one. You're the one that's really going to go far. You're the one that's going to be able to pull this off. you're not like the other one. And even if that glass child succeeds incredibly in life, which they may, they'll get that attention for being great. So they'll get all the attention for their high achievements, but never is their emotional inner world ever tended to. It becomes invisible. And so what can happen is that glass child can grow up feeling all kinds of things in their adult life. They may strive for achievement and get caught in serious patterns of perfectionism. Because stemming back from childhood, everything was great when they were great. And they got the attention and the love that they needed when they were achieving, when they were perfect. They also may struggle with connecting into their own emotional intelligence, their own emotional inner world, because it was never seen by anyone else. So it wasn't seen by the parents in the outside world, which means it may not have even been seen by the person themselves, or they have a lot of shame around what their emotions actually are. And they might try to push those down, avoid them, or just not have a strong relationship with them, which then can lead to all kinds of things into adulthood, like increased anxiety, all sorts of other mental health issues, people-pleasing patterns, hyper-independence. Okay, that's a big one, hyper-independence, because it totally ties into the childhood experience. If I can be independent and do this on my own and not need my parents to tend to me, I'll be all right. Because they can't really give it to me anyway. So I really have to figure this one out totally on my own. So an inability to receive help is what that ends up being. That's what that becomes. Hyper-independence. Inability to be vulnerable enough to receive help. I don't need help. I can do this all on my own. So those are really resistant people. Those are people that might not even probably ever make their way into therapy, because even just asking for help by reaching out to a therapist or even thinking about reaching out to a therapist is not in their purview. I'll figure this one out on my own. I don't need your help. I don't need you. So I'll do it on my own. And then what happens when they can't do it solely on their own? Well, now we have some self-loathing, some real self-hatred. They beat themselves up. Their inner critic gets so damn loud because it's like, why couldn't you have figured this out? Why did you need help? You didn't need help. What's wrong with you? You're weak. And so there's a real thing going on there. And I would say that this can also stem from being raised by parents who are struggling with mental health and addiction. Because think about it, the parents have to tend to their own mental health and addiction needs, whether it's active use or active mental illness or whatever, that prevents them from being able to be emotionally available to that child. So then that child grows up real fast, has an over-reliance on themselves because they can't rely on the caregiver. And then again, the message is sent that your emotions are invisible. So this is just like a pretty, because think about how many people across the country struggle with mental health and addiction. Do you think all of those people are only children where their siblings are not affected by that? Of course not. So it ends up being a real gnarly one that can stay with somebody for a very long time. And sometimes I will see the show up as just an incredible amount of rage. The glass child who is now the adult has so much rage and anger and resentment and bitterness to the siblings that took all the attention when they were younger. They are likely going to develop rescuer tendencies because they had to be the stable force all throughout growing up. That doesn't just go away when they become adults. So now they're the adult who now has to save the family still. They continue to have to save the siblings. They continue to have to save anybody that's in crisis whatsoever, which leads to that codependency stuff, that whole rescuer archetype now lives in them. I'm going to fix everything. I'm the fixer. I can fix everything. Again, I don't need help. I can do it. I'm the fixer. It's me. I'm the savior. I can save everybody. And this is highly problematic. So you get all of these little archetypes weaved in together just under the umbrella of the glass child that will completely debilitate somebody So not only, back to that rage piece, not only will that rage be towards the siblings, of like, you got all the attention, and it was because you, excuse my language, were a fuck up, you know? Like that's the sentiment. Granted, they may love that sibling that struggles, and they may feel very content and very fulfilled in some way, shape, or form to be there to save that sibling who's now an adult that may also still struggle with their own stuff. But they're still mad about it. And they're probably very mad at the parents. I did everything right. Why didn't I get any attention other than like what I was good at or productive in or achieved at? And they may hold on to that for a very long time. A very long time. So being able to break free of that is such a huge, huge, monumental thing to do. It first starts by figuring out how you can get yourself to surrender and receive some help. You got to retrain that distorted subconscious belief that says, if you ask for help, something's wrong with you. It starts there. You got to start reworking that. And then you start to slowly soften into receiving the help that you've now asked for. Listening to what somebody has to say, providing suggestions, and working with somebody that can kind of hold steady and hold you accountable by not letting you think that you have all the answers. You know what I mean? Like, the glass child is the one that thinks they have all the answers. And it's like, you're not teachable and you're not able to be helped at that point if you can't receive the suggestions from somebody else because you already know everything. That's the tough part. It's like, you gotta really, it's almost like, I don't know, psychedelics might be strong enough to break that I know everything thing. You might need a little bit of a doozy on that one. Like, I don't even know if talk therapy is going to get you there. And when I say talk therapy, I mean any type of therapy that's done through the vessel of talking. Now, there might be other styles of therapy like Jungian, transpersonal, and any kind of depth somatic that can really, really get to something. But that ego is so damn strong that it's entirely resistant to change. The ego is resistant to change in and of itself. That's what it is. Ego is not like you thinking you're better than everybody or you know it all. That's only one part of it. The ego is there to keep you safe. It is to keep you not moving, not change, do not grow, do not change, stay right here. This is predictable. We know this. If you do anything outside of just doing the same thing every day, you're going to be hurt. That's what the ego says. And that can sometimes show up as, I know everything. I'm resistant to change in any way, shape, or form. I think I'm better. I'm caught in fear. It shows up in a million different ways. But it's essentially an immovable place when the ego is driving the boat on everything. And so it's that part of the ego that says, I know everything, that can really show up big time for this glass child. So I think this is a big one. I think so many people have this. I really do think the glass child should start to be included in the everyday conversation that people in the field have about archetypes. This one cannot be overlooked. Just like how I believe the addict is one of the survival archetypes. I don't think there's four. I think there's at least five. If we just want to think about it as an archetype, as a person. Because an ego is an archetype too. And that's obviously a survival archetype. But I just wanted to share that because I think this is just so prevalent. So prevalent. And so there's also, and just to follow up on that rage piece, there's also like a great anger that lives in the glass child about the fact that they couldn't just do life erratically like their sibling. Like, why couldn't I have done that? Why wasn't I able to just go do drugs? Why wasn't I able to just get lost in my depression and then get put into psychiatric wards? I wouldn't have had to work. I wouldn't have had to work so hard at what I was doing. I would not have had to be responsible. And that's really what it comes down to. They're actually mad about how responsible they had to be. Because it feels like it wasn't a choice. It feels like they had to do it because everybody else was a mess. So their responsibility now becomes a burden. And anytime somebody cannot integrate the power of their own responsibility, they're in a bad way. That is not going to look good. It's not going to feel good. It's not going to go good. Because where is your inner compass? Where is your inner leader? If you turn away from responsibility out of resentment because you were raised to feel like it was a burden, you're not going to want responsibility as an adult. You're going to want somebody to tell you what to do all the time so you don't have to think. You're going to want everyone else to figure it out for you instead of you stepping up to the plate to do it. When we're not able, willing, or open to taking radical responsibility for our lives, it's just, you're on the hamster wheel. That's why my major philosophy is like, you got to take responsibility for yourselves, including how you co-create your reality. So when you're a child and you're growing up in this type of environment and you develop this glass child archetype within you, there might not be a whole lot of insight that you have around that while you're growing up, but it is now your responsibility to do something about it in your adulthood. Seek out the teaching, seek out the wisdom, seek out the knowledge, the wisdom opportunities. So you can really just raise your self-awareness. And through that process, you might learn like, wow, this is me. Now I have to do something about it. This is what I've been carrying with me. This is why everything is going the way that it is in my life. This is why things are not the way that I want. This is why I'm in pain. And then it's now your job to do something about it, which is not unfamiliar again to the glass child. They're used to being highly independent. So it's about transforming the relationship you have with your own responsibility and independence. It's about taking charge and going and seeking out the help, but now be willing to receive the help. So it's a give and take. You put out into the world the drive to go find the help, and then you receive the help. So I definitely think that if this is an archetype that you hold and you're struggling with it, like you have a real great strength there, which is that you have learned to figure things out on your own, really without relying on anybody else. But see how that's a double-edged sword? Because I just talked about how there's an actual dependence there. They're really independent and responsible, not by their own choosing. They would rather not have to be that responsible. But they do it because they have to, and they had to out of survival. So their independence now, while they're still in pain, it is a great thing. It's not feeling like it's their own choosing. It's almost like they feel victimized by their own need to be independent. Because then it's like, I always have to save everybody. I always have to be the one to figure this out. I always have to be the one to hold it together or come up with the solutions. Or take care of everybody, or whatever, whatever, whatever. I don't want to do that, but I have to, because if I don't do it, who's going to do it? Well, I don't know. Who's going to do it? What if nobody did it? Why do you have to be the only one that does it? Let the ship sink. Really? Can you let the ship sink? And that's the answer is no. That's the biggest dilemma. The glass child actually can't just allow the ship. They want to just really allow the ship to sink, but they can't. It's too much. It's too much anxiety. Just because if you don't do it, no one else will, isn't a good enough reason for you to be the one to be doing it all the time. So it's about really taking the experience and the practice that you already have with being independent, but letting go of the fear and the anger and the resentment. And now not holding that independence out of spite and resentment, but holding it because you know it's going to be the best thing for you to actualize. So you got to let go of the fight. No more fighting. And that's really all it comes down to right there. Letting go of the fight, softening, surrendering. And sometimes there's a great force that is needed to be able to break through and create that experience. Ketamine, psychedelics. I don't even know about some of the more accessible spiritual approaches, meditation, not enough. Hypnosis, definitely not. You know what I mean? Like, you need something pretty powerful for this one. Usually. So, that's it. I don't really have anything more to say about it. It's pretty straightforward. It's pretty... That's it. It's this is the box of the Glass Child. So, I encourage anybody who has grown up with siblings that have required some additional attention from the parents to just think about this. Is it possible that this could be me? And if so, what do I want to do about it? You know what I'm saying? It's pretty straightforward. You're not invisible. And you're not everybody's savior. And you don't have to be mad anymore. And you can forgive yourself for the ways that you've gone about life that you don't like. You can change that now. There's no point in dwelling in the past about how you didn't show up for yourself in XYZ ways. If you let those memories own you, you will be a slave to your own mind. Don't let your mind be your master. You need to master your mind. And that's what it comes down to. So I am going to leave it there. That was a quick one, quick and dirty, just right to the point, just jumping in, just to share a little perspective. You dig? I will catch you guys on the next one. And as always, may the light always lead your way. Be well, everybody. The Third Realm Integration Podcast and related content is intended to provide information and/or entertainment only and is not a substitute for mental health or medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Do not delay mental health or medical consultation or substitute a mental health or medical professional's opinion because of what you heard on this show. Seek the advice of your physician or another qualified health provider with any questions you may have regarding a mental health or medical condition. The host of this podcast does not provide emergency support for mental health or medical issues. For questions or concerns, visit your local emergency room or contact your doctor. One's not a quote, it's a little story, and it goes like this. "Do you love me?" asked Alice. "No, I don't love you," the white rabbit answered. Alice frowned her forehead and put her hands together, as she always did when she felt hurt. "See," the white rabbit replied, noticing her change. "Now you'll start wondering what makes you so imperfect, and what you did wrong, so I can't love you at least a little. You know, this is why I can't love you. You will not always be loved, Alice. There will be days when others will be tired and bored with life. They will have their heads in the clouds and will end up hurting you. Because people are like this sometimes, Alice. Somehow, they always end up hurting each other, whether by neglect, misunderstanding, or conflicts within themselves. If you don't love yourself, at least a little, if you don't create an armor of self-love and happiness around your heart, the setbacks caused by others will become lethal and destroy you. The first time I saw you, I made a pact with myself. I will avoid loving you until you learn to love yourself.